So we spoke at great length in this session, and Ari's incredible diagram showed us the problem of affiliates as to the distribution side of this business, software getting on users' computers through obfuscated, complicated relationships involving affiliates for distribution. But there's another entire side to the affiliate business model, namely affiliate advertisements. And here what we see is one example, this particular one as to 180, though you see it as to other software providers too. PC Tools operates an affiliate program whereby PC Tools pays commission for those folks who arrive at their site through an affiliate link. And, of course, lots of other companies do, Expedia, Dell, Gateway, and so forth. It turns out that the 180 software, the direct revenue software, so many others, get used to show pop-ups of a merchant's own site. It's very odd. You're going to PC Tools. What do you get but a PC Tools pop-up? It turns out this allows the 180 advertiser to skim off the top, namely to claim affiliate commissions on sales that the merchant would have gotten anyway. We can see 180 advertisers doing that. As to direct revenue, sadly, it's actually quite a bit worse. There's clear evidence that direct revenue has specifically done it itself, not through some other affiliate, and I'll be publishing that on my site on Monday with videos and packet blogs. I guess my question here is what we should make of this mess, what we, in looking at, say, 180 or direct revenue or anyone else, should be doing about the problem of affiliate advertisers being used to cheat or take money from merchants, merchants who should be looking out for themselves. They don't need me or Dave or anyone else to take care of them. And yet somehow we've created a monster, a set of software systems that make cheating so much easier than detecting the cheating.
Well, and specifically here, I mean, does this seem like deceptive advertising? I've got some other screenshots in case this one isn't convincing enough, but notice that the fonts, the even the TM after PestBot, the color scheme, you know, the button that just starts spyware scan now, all of this is intended to imitate the site it's popped over. That seems like, you know, a classic case of, you know, intent to deceive. And delivered, if you look at the fine print, very few people will, brought to you by 180 Search Assistant. What does the panel think of this?
Okay, we're going to take this question. Does anybody else in this line have a very similar question so we can consolidate them? Yeah. Okay.
Simon Claus from PC Tools. So the interesting thing here is that you've got PestBot, which is actually nothing to do with our product. PestBot is actually a rogue anti-spyware product.
Number one.
Yeah, it is. Actually, up until a few days, it had the
by
top download on
download.com.
Yeah. So even though it was never listed, I'll classify that for you guys. So basically, you have this software which is a rogue, doesn't detect proper spyware. It doesn't detect 180, incidentally. You have this product which is not only deceptive, it's not only stealing our customers, but it's fraudulent, and it's trying to get money from these customers to buy an illegitimate product. We've also got other examples similar with 180, where they're popping other people's shopping carts within our shopping cart. So you've got another situation where you click buy to buy Spyware Doctor, then full screen pop up someone else's shopping cart. Now, that's going beyond deceptive. That's moving totally into fraudulent behaviour, because the customer has absolutely no way of knowing that they are not purchasing Spyware Doctor until they've actually entered their credit card information, and 2 weeks later they get a bill from somewhere else.
Okay.
So I'd just like to point out that it's not only the fact that these pieces of software got installed deceptively, it's also the fact that even if they got installed using legitimate behaviour, they're containing fraudulent and basically trying to scam users.
Okay, thanks. So the issue here is deceptive practices, fraud, and not just picking your installers, but also picking your advertisers or whatever. And panel comments, maybe Dan, you want to respond
first. Well, I think
first.
There's two issues, so maybe I'll start with Ben's.
I'm sorry. There's another video that you may want to look at.
Well, so I'll address the affiliate side. We just released an audit because I think that there's there's two sides to the affiliate issue, right? Is one is that when those cookies are set, there's not something that we see, right? I mean, we've tried to comply. We've massively scaled down given the focus on this with most of the affiliate companies because largely they're not really interested in policing when the cookies drop.
Yeah, I mean, why don't you just say whether you think this is wrong or not?
Yes. I think that these things happening are things we're trying to prevent.
Okay.
In other words, we have worked extensively with many of the affiliate companies to try to prevent this overwriting. It's not something that we necessarily target or attempt. To Ben's point in terms of targeting homepages, there's a difference between whether the advertiser has paid for it, which many do. Many of our advertisers pay to have their website show up so no one else does, right? I mean, this is the nature of competitive advertising. So, I think you guys have seen these, right? I mean, we target competitive websites. So if someone's shopping for, a Bahama Cruise, we're going to show a competitor's Bahama Cruise site. So that competitive piece is a benefit to the consumers if we can save them a couple $100. This stuff, when we were made aware of it, I believe we turned this advertisement off. I think this is the one that we had talked about. So
you turned this one off, but I think there are about seven others that are still fraudulent.
We have a code of conduct with our advertisers that they're not allowed to violate relationships that they have with affiliate networks. Mm-hmm. They're not allowed to offer things that are fraudulent. So
Don't you have to put advertisers up? Don't they come through your site where you look at these things before you let them go out to your network?
We look at them, right.
So you determine that this was okay?
Someone looked at that and said, yes, targeting that is okay. But that's not the same necessarily as knowing whether or not
What about the shopping cart example?
The affiliate commission, you mean?
In their
shopping cart, a fake shopping cart pops up, and people enter in their credit card so that some company that this consumer doesn't even know is getting their credit card information.
And then we get customers asking us where the software is. And obviously they never ordered it from us.
Can anyone think that's the right thing to do?
For this business to be a good business, you need to police your advertisers, you need to police your distributors. Policing your distributors can be difficult for the reasons we cited in the money. Policing your advertisers, they come through your scheduling operation and you see them. I mean, I think that should be pretty straightforward. I mean, somebody has approved this ad running against your site.
Well, that's the thing. Other legitimate ad networks don't seem to have this problem. I mean, Google, as a prime example, doesn't have this problem where they've got, illegitimate and fraudulent products showing up in their results. I mean, it's simply reviewed and it never happens. So
yeah, they do have the problem. They deal with it.
They do have
it. Exactly. But that's the point.
It's the responsibility of the publisher.
If I may, one of the things that's changed in the advertising industry on the publisher side is there used to be a one-to-one relationship between the publisher and the ad server. And now, very, very typically, you have intermediate companies that buy a certain amount of inventory from publishers. So you do, in fact, have advertising that may go through multiple hands. And some people call that arbitrage. But this does make the advertising environment much more complicated. Yes, it's incumbent upon us to police it. Certainly, any ad that is booked through us has to be policed. But it does make the advertising model, publishing model, complicated because everybody's reselling inventory, and that's especially true with Google. It's especially true with any site that has a great deal of inventory. Even some of our inventory comes from other adware companies that have unsold inventory.
So, conclusion, it's wrong.
I think it shows the difficulty in doing the policing on all these different sides. And there's actually, there's not that much incentive for advertisers generally to self-regulate until things get so bad that everyone's model is at stake.
Here's where I would disagree with you. If you want to be a publisher and if you want to be in this business long term, you can't allow this behavior because you must have a good relationship with your advertisers and with your consumers, and they both have to trust you to be an honest broker. And so this is complicated.
It's a race to the bottom. So.
Yes. And now we're trying to figure out how to turn this into a race to the top.
Right.
That's what transparency is about. That's what branding your ads is about, so that you're responsible for them. That's what having the advertisers police that chain and maybe say this chain is just too long to police. I should shorten the chain. I'm really very frustrated because we have only 5 minutes left and I'm going to probably take seven or something. We certainly haven't finished this with this discussion, but it's a discussion that in the end is probably going to be decided in courts and other places. And so what I'd like to do is take the next three questions here and see what they are. Maybe they're on the same topic. Maybe they're other stuff.
Okay, this is I'm Wayne Porter, CEO of Xbox Systems. We publish spywareguide.com. I do have a lot of questions. Maybe we'll catch up with you guys later. I guess the big question I have is, and Dave, you mentioned that, is how long do we have to wait? There's not one adware company I know of that doesn't have some sort of dark history or did a bad deal or did a bad bundle or didn't get deceptively slid into someone's machines. And I know this because I've looked through thousands of emails of complaints people have sent to Spyware Guide. So my question is, and we have adware companies telling me we're trying to reform, we're trying to do things the right way, we're trying to develop a relationship with our consumer, which is really probably part of the problem. There is no relationship. There's no fan base. There's no loyalty. So my question is, why should I look the other way, or why should I wipe the slate clean for you guys? Why should I say, okay, it's like being in kindergarten again. It's do over. You can do over. I mean, why should I do that?
Great.
Why should I trust you now, I guess is my question.
This is a great question. We'll come to it after this question here, because I have a proposal of what might happen next. Go ahead.
Actually, I just want to add to that. David Foote with FPM Software again. We're contacted by companies all the time asking us to delist them. And the question I've got for the adware manufacturers is, our customers want them listed. You know, even if they reform their image, even if they change, they want to know about this stuff. And often the comparisons are made to, like, MSN Messenger. They say they deliver ads. But there's a very clear value proposition, right? We've got a natural constraint that if we remove your products and your customers have a clear value proposition, then we'll be in trouble. So under any circumstances, you know, should we delist you?
Yeah. Thanks. Sorry. I just want to ask the audience, how many of you were shocked by what you saw on the screen?
Which one?
Whatever. Okay. Versus most of you kind of knew this was going on, and fair enough. For the panel, you're sitting here. Thank you very much for coming. I'm sure this has been one of the more, at least for three of you, one of the more uncomfortable things you've had to endure. And it's, you know, you're probably the... It's been easier to endure if you are less responsible for some of the things that didn't shock anybody. But it doesn't matter. You're associated with this stuff. You may think of yourselves as adware. They think of you as spyware. Please, folks, if you want to talk, you can go somewhere else. So how do you clean up? And it's not just how you clean up your own practices. I've talked at length to all of you. You're at different stages. In this chart, you'll find teachers' comments here, which you can look at. But even if you got entirely clean, even if you went to 100% owned distribution and everything became good, you're going to have a lot of people who are going to say, well, I don't care. You're still living off your installed base, some of which was illegitimately installed. You have very high turnover rates, as does all download software. But there are probably people there dating from 3 years ago when you were not reformed who can't get rid of your software and are still getting ads, and you're benefiting from it. You could say, well, I'm sure they've gotten rid of our software by now, in which case you would have no problem doing what I'm about to suggest, which is that you take your very own mechanism of sending ads to consumers and you engage in a public awareness / education campaign, which would be certified by Ari Schwartz, who's conveniently here on the panel and represents an NGO, whatever. And this campaign would say, you have our software on your machine. This is what it does. We talked about what needs to be disclosed. This is what the benefits are. This is how to remove it. please opt in to keep having the software on your machine and to keep having the benefits. How about it? It might make these people willing to consider delisting you, not forever, but as long as you maintain the good behavior. These are people who presumably don't want you and are probably not very good prospects for advertising. And I'd like to hear the reactions of everybody on the panel that is germane. Dan?
Well, I think you're right. That your answer in terms of, I think, I'm not sure who asked, in terms of whether we should do a do-over, is that the long-term solution to this is that we need to provide consumers a value that they understand. That when.
What about short-term?
Well, I think, well, yes, both terms. But we, when we talk about 5 years out, I think there'll be a higher education in terms of what you can do in the short term. You know, I think you distributed something that has a statement from our CEO that says, you know, having one consumer out of 20 million that hasn't received proper consent is unacceptable. And so figuring out a solution to make sure that we can notify them, we're open to doing that.
Soon?
I guess as soon as we come to some way
okay.
of identifying it.
Maybe at some point today or at the NAI workshop in 2 weeks, we can start working on what wording would be required, how the messaging would work, et cetera. Jeff?
Yeah, your global question is how do we fix this mess, right?
Yeah.
And I agree that this is a mess. I'm appalled at some of what Ari has shown me. The only reason I wasn't stunned seeing this here today is that he showed it to me a month ago, I think. I have a global solution. Then I will get to the question you asked. I really think that this, much like the email spam problem, is not going to be solved without technology solutions that are going to be brought by people like the ones in this room. I think we need to sit at the table together, though, and figure this out. Because when Esther asked me this question last week, I said, you know, one of the problems that's swimming around in all of this is that the programs that are out there today that are doing the anti-spyware detection are failing consumers in a number of ways. I was joking about the FTC commissioner's comment. I had the same problem with my daughter's computer over the Christmas holiday, and I tried six of the programs trying to fix it, and it did. Every one of the six took away our software, but it didn't take away the software that was hitting me with four or five pop-up ads per minute at the time that was happening. I chose not to bring some slides to describe this, but you know, wouldn't it be wrong if an anti-spyware program told a consumer that they had the date manager software installed when in fact they had the Gatory wallet installed? And wouldn't it be wrong if they went ahead and uninstalled that program and the consumer couldn't get at their financial sites, their IDs and passwords were all wiped out? Would it be wrong if the anti-spyware program stripped away the free program that was given to the consumer, stripped away the advertising and left the free program in its place? Some people here might like that. What if the opposite was true? What if it took away the program and left just the advertisements to be displayed? And what if in the process of doing that, it took away the uninstaller for the program so the consumer could not uninstall the program and sort of turn it into spyware? All of the major anti-spyware programs that we looked at do most of the things that I've got in the list, and I've got videos too, like Ben. I'm glad he's keeping track of this stuff. I will say that we are very interested, and we'll be at a seat at the table in that conversation, even about this notion of re-opting in. If we can get an informed consent regime on the other side as well for the anti-spyware tools, and frankly, I think a lot of this stuff is just mistakes. I don't know that there's any malintent, but it's causing serious problems for our business. And if we're going to step up, we need you guys to step up too.
Can I address that issue? Because I mean that is what CDC
sure.
is working on. I mean the anti-spyware companies came.
Is your mic working?
No, I mean.
That's on mute, sorry. The anti-spyware companies came to CDT and they said, look, you know, we know that there are issues involved here about coming up with definitions, that consumers need more information, we need to do a better job working together. And they wanted to work with us and with consumer groups. And so we've started that process. I mean, exactly the process that Jeff is talking about. But it's not, they didn't go about it by saying, look, to the adware companies, look, you need to, sit down in the room with us and get it. They're getting together themselves, working with the consumer groups, the consumers who are being affected by this, and trying to come up with something that works together. And then we'll make that public, and you can comment on it, etc. But you're spending all this time talking about the anti-spyware companies, and you did complain about some of the bad stuff that's going on too. But you can police yourselves as well. I mean, there's a lot of room for going around and making efforts to try and find the bad guys within your own industry and showing that you're willing to do that outside of your own companies and really trying to work together to get it done, because you're just bringing down the entire advertising industry by not working together in that way.
I certainly think we can cut some of this short with a few of us getting to the table and figuring this out sooner rather than later, because I don't just want a solution to the spyware problem that's causing consumers to be afraid to download software. I need those kind of solutions and would like to help make that happen in whatever way makes sense. And maybe that's a part of the solution, but we've got to get the problem solved, and it can't be. If it takes 2 years to solve this problem, it's going to be worse for me than it is for anybody in this room, I think.
Yeah, Dan.
Yes, I mean. We have managed to put ourselves into a messy market, and so, but Ari actually made an interesting point, which is that it is incumbent upon us on the adware side to police ourselves. That goes without saying, and we have a responsibility to do that. And doing the sort of proactive opt-in is a sensible thing to do to retroactively police some of our distribution, but it does require participation on all sides. We cannot do it in the absence. We cannot go and police ourselves without a reasonable agreement on the, and I don't want to use the anti-spyware term as a collective, but there has to be some kind of agreement and definition about what is appropriate behavior. So that having opted in, having policed ourselves, we have some reasonable chance that everybody agrees that what we're doing is okay. So the short answer to your question is yes.
Thanks.
But the follow-up is everybody has to buy into it.
Right. It's my job to police this panel. But I do want, if you want to give a short answer for Bill Day or Bill Day's here, for when you...
I don't think Bill is, and actually I don't feel comfortable committing for him on policy. I know he's got things that you were...
I know he's got things you wrote down, and it's best that he comment on that. I mean, I'm really not here as Bill's advocate.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, yes, Bill told me, I wrote it down, you can read it. It's basically, in short, also a yes with the usual set of caveats, and that's why we're having this meeting, in a sense. We want to move this conversation forward. The ultimate idea may be something somewhat different, but I think clearly what needs to happen in this industry is some more collective action by the good guys to differentiate themselves from the bad guys, and by the other good guys to recognize the good guys. First, we need to agree that stuff is wrong. That's, someone once called it, hypocrisy is the tribute that vice pays to virtue. And then the vice needs to be driven out so that people can say stuff is wrong and be really comfortable that they themselves are not responsible for it being done.